Hey, hey, kids. You're listening to a couple of annoyed grunt boys, and this is the 138th Simpsons Podcast.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. 'Twas blind, but now I see.
That's right, we're the Simpsons Podcast that discusses the beloved animated sitcom The Simpsons from seasons 11 and beyond, and the new episodes when they air. Why do we do it this way? Well, an entity known as the Wheel of Random has trapped us and cursed us to only watch those episodes to find if there's any episodes from those years that can match the golden age, that being seasons 1 through 10. Well, I don't do this alone, because I'm just one annoyed grunt boy named Craig. Sitting next to me in my own pew is the other annoyed grunt boy. It's Steve. Yeah, people are probably wondering why I'm so quiet. Because of this episode, Steve and I decided to record it at a church, to know what a church is really like.
Yeah, we want to have the Holy Spirit fill our holes.
Wait a minute, Steve. This isn't a church. This is a strip club.
Oh, I was wondering why so much Def Leppard was playing.
Wait, I'm taking it back. Those ladies with the black habits on, they're not taking that off, so I think we are in a church.
Okay.
I mean, they were passing around a little tray and I put money in, but they were not taking their habits off, Steve.
I know, like, I thought it was a whole, sister act thing.
Yeah, I don't see Whoopi Goldberg at all here.
No, and that woman does look like Cassie Najimy, but...
The reverend's up there talking about Jesus and stuff like that. We're going to be made men now. Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
We're going to drink the blood of Christ. So, you know, I think in the spirit of us being here in church, should we go to our favorite corner, the blood of Christ corner?
That sounds good.
Steve, what kind of blood are you drinking today?
So it's red in color.
Yum, yum.
It's from our King of Kings.
Anheuser-Busch?
That's right. It smells kind of like wine, but also kind of like blood. I'm going to take a little sip here. It's okay.
Yeah, I'm also drinking the same thing Steve is. Maybe a different brand of Jesus blood, but we got some nice... Corbett Canyon box wine, Steve. It's a Cab Sauv, and you know, for a box, cheap box wine, it's not bad.
Yeah.
It gets me all warm and tingly, and then I could fall asleep.
I feel like Cab Sauv is probably the best, is probably one of my favorite bloods.
Yeah.
Like, Pinot's okay.
We live in a great Pinot Noir Valley. Like, the Willamette Valley in Oregon has some of the best Pinot Noirs in the world.
True.
But I can't get into them that much. I'll drink them, of course. Of course, Steve. I'm not turning Jesus blood down. Yeah, give me a Cab Sauv. I'll take a red blend sometimes, as long as it's not too sweet.
Yeah.
I'm not a big Merlot fan, though. Not my jam, because it's not jammy enough.
Yeah. You know what I like is a Malbec.
Ah, yes.
Malbec's good.
Argentinian wine. Malbec is... I should have drank that wine. There's also a black box Malbec. I'll just switch back and forth, okay?
It's interesting that you just have boxes of Jesus blood up in your house.
I mean, does that make me a God-fearing Christian, Steve, or something else?
I don't know. It's either really holy or really creepy, or maybe both. I don't know. Who's to say?
Oh, I thought you were just going to say I'm an alcoholic.
I mean, that's a given.
Okay. Steve, we're being asked to quiet down. I'll go to the quiet room so we can talk while the sermon's going on, because you know, this bit is like 5 minutes long, and I just want to talk at a normal pace now. So hey, here we are. We're at a studio here in the church.
I really appreciate that most churches now have podcast studios.
I mean, you gotta go to church, so why not put a podcast studio in? So the Jesus man gets to do a weekly podcast. Like, if you don't make it to the service,
right,
listen to this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
I get informed on, you know, my United States Postal Service, you know, what mail's coming to me every day.
Sure.
And I got one notification, you probably got it too, that the U.S. Postal Service has an official podcast now.
I saw that, yeah.
If it isn't John Ratzenberg doing it, then I'm not listening.
Yeah.
Him as Cliff, like, that sounds like a bit like if they ever have Cliff on the Frasier revival, I want him to be retired, but having a... podcast, like
mailing it in.
Oh my god, he'd still probably have more listeners than us, right?
Oh, no doubt about it, yeah.
All right, so quickly, Frasier, the first season of the new revival was over, and you only had appearances from two former, you had Lilith, and spoilers, you had Roz.
Mm-hmm.
But what other Cheers characters, what do you think the Cheers gang is doing now? And because now that he's back in Boston, Frasier, I mean, hopefully we get to see Sam, and I mean, hopefully Diane shows up. I mean, because, you know, they were once almost married, and
right.
Maybe you got to see some Carla, Norm, Woody, and Cliff. No Rebecca, because she's dead.
Right.
But so, I'm going to go with, as much as it'd be nice if the bar is open, I just don't think Cheers is open anymore.
No. I think Carla's probably working at another bar still.
Does she have, like, more kids now?
Yeah, somehow.
Like, she's in the Guinness Book of World Records for, like, oldest person to have a child. There's a new bar in the new Frasier revival series called Mahoney's. So I think it'd be funny if Norm does make an appearance. When he enters, everyone at Mahoney's goes, "Norm." You know, you gotta have that.
Yeah, for sure.
Because there was that joke when, you know, in Cheers, when they used to, once a year, there was always the bar wars with Gary's Old Time Tavern.
Mm-hmm.
There's that one episode where, like, the gang walks into Gary's and everyone yells "Norm" at Gary's. Woody, maybe he's like, maybe he's the, because it didn't end, this Cheers ended with Woody becoming like a U.S. senator, didn't he?
Yeah, I think so.
Maybe he's like, maybe he's president of the United States in the Frasierverse.
I could see that, yeah.
he's a little Trump, he's a little Biden, you know, he's the best of both.
Yeah, he's legalizing weed, but you know he's not vaccinated.
Yep. And we already said Cliff is retired.
Mm-hmm. Doing his podcast.
Wow, this is not a Simpsons talk and not a Jesus talk, Steve. We're not doing well on this intro. Maybe we should just get in with this week's episode.
Yeah, let's go all the way back in time to April 26, 2020. What a glorious time in America that was. And the world. What was the number one movie in the box office?
So it's called The True History of the Kelly Gang, which is something I've never heard of before. But then it got me thinking, this was April of 2020. Theaters were pretty much shut down.
Yeah.
So whatever theater that was still open was showing this movie. It's got a bunch of people in it.
Mm-hmm.
It's the story of the Australian guy, Ned Kelly. So is this it must be an Australian film.
I think so.
Because Australia was like the first on the pandemic really to like shut down.
Right.
But they got their shit together when the world was still trying to figure it out.
I'm looking at Box Office Mojo, and opening weekend, it did boffo in the box office, making $9,839.
Wow. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
You could buy a lot of Lego sets with that money.
Domestically, it made $33,000, and internationally, it made a whopping $437,000.
Wow.
Yeah.
There's the Rotten Tomatoes, we got an 80% from the reviews, but then only 42 from audience, so people don't like it.
People haven't seen it, I think.
Yeah, you're right. Look, it's got a great cast. You got Russell Crowe, you got Nicholas Holt, soon to be Lex Luthor.
Oh.
You got Charlie Hunnam, you know, he was Jax on Sons of Anarchy. I'm sure it's fine. Well, Steve, we weren't allowed to go to the cinemas because they were closed. So we probably just stayed home and listened to Spotify. What was the number one song on the box office of the top 100? Not box office. We do this joke like every other episode, don't we?
Yeah. The number one song on the Billboard Hot 100 was Blinding Light by The Weeknd.
The Weeknd, former Simpsons guest star.
Oh, yes.
I guess in this time period, he hadn't been on The Simpsons yet, but soon enough he will be.
That's right. Did they already do the joke when he was on SNL where they did a Weeknd update?
Like, a Weeknd update? Was that like that was a bit?
He talks about his life. I don't know. If it's not, it should be. Like, you can just be like, I bought a new car or something.
That's a good. Hey, call Higgins and pitch to him.
All right, yeah, I'll talk to him at our next international meeting of Steve's.
I think he can, you know, get a week's salary, like work a week on SNL as a guest writer. That's a thing that they do.
Yeah, yeah, you just ask and they'll happy to do it.
Yeah, so like Lauren Michaels probably, we could probably go to his house in the Hamptons and ask him. Just like show up, yeah. He'll be fine with that, right?
Oh yeah,
I'll be sure. Like, Paul sent me.
Oh yeah, he's like, Paul.
He's like, oh, which Paul? There's so many of them. I'll be like, McCartney and Simon.
And Schaefer.
Steve, you have a Lauren Michaels impersonation, right? Everyone does.
That's right, I do.
That was it?
I'm Dr. Evil.
That's all you gotta do.
Yeah, yes.
All right, well, Steve, the weekend. Is there any controversy in his career yet, or is he still not canceled?
I think there is some controversy, but I really like how, you know, you can play any one of his songs and it just sounds like a weekend song.
Yep. All right, Steve, let's just dive into this week's episode. It's Warren Priests, part one. Bodhi, a young, charismatic new preacher, comes to town and shakes things up at church. And Reverend Lovejoy investigates his mysterious past.
Ooh.
All right, Steve, I think let's go back to the church. Oh, no, we have to stay here to record the podcast. We don't want to be quiet. So let's drink some more Jesus blood and go ahead and watch the episode and take a little break and come back.
Sounds good.
All right, we'll be right back, folks.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
And we're back. Today we're talking about Warren Priests, Part 1. It's the 19th episode of the 31st season, and originally aired April 26, 2020. It's episode 681 of the show's run. Your nerd code is ZABF12. Written by Pete Holmes, directed by Bob Anderson, and the showrunner is Al Jean.
Alrighty, Peter Benedict Holmes, Pete Holmes. He's a comedian, actor, writer, producer, podcaster. So he has had quite an interesting career in the past 10 to 15 years. He's hosted the You Made It Weird podcast, which is important to me. He also hosted his brief show on TBS called The Pete Holmes Show, which is produced by Conan O'Brien's company. He had a biographical dramedy on HBO produced by Judd Apatow called Crashing. And he most recently was in a CBS show, I think, produced by Chuck Lorre called How We Roll, in which he played a steel worker or an auto factory worker who decided to end his career to try and become a professional bowler. I want to take a moment because I followed his career quite a bit because back in around 2011, is when I first started getting into both podcasts and stand-up comedy. And Pete Holmes' show, You Made It Weird, was one of the first podcasts that I listened to on the regular. And he was doing the kind of the normal thing that comedians did at the time, which was have, you know, his comedian friends talk and they'd just chat about being in comedy. But then he'd dive into more deep things like sexuality and spirituality, especially because he comes from a religious background. He got married at his first when he was first 18, and then he got divorced when he was 28, but that was a very religious time in his life. And then he kind of waned from that, and then he found religion in his own way, which we'll kind of study in this episode. But then, like, the episodes kept on getting longer and longer to, like, 3, maybe 4 hours, and then he'd have, like, priests and deacons on the show, and it just got a little weird. And he kind of got a little egotistic, and it started to become all about him, so I kind of fell off, but he is one of the reasons why I, like, stuck around with podcasts for so long. So it's a long way to say, welcome to the show, Pete Holmes.
I thought it was because Joe Rogan, that's why you got into podcasts.
That's why I stayed in podcasts. I'm also a bald idiot who knows it all.
You're just like, if Joe Rogan can do it, then I can do it.
Exactly.
I mean, you probably couldn't host a show about people, like, eating bugs. And
no.
It wouldn't be like, you couldn't probably be fourth, maybe sixth lead on a show starring Dave Foley and Phil Hartman.
I wish, but yeah, no.
Yeah, you have more knowledge of the Peter Holmes than I do. I just know him from, I guess, just guests on podcasts. Like, I've never listened to that one that you were talking about. The I know Crashing. I didn't watch it. It was when I was like, I should get into this because I know, like, he brought, like, after one of the many Artie Lang, like, rehab, after coming out of rehabs, trying to get back into the business. I know he had Artie Lang on that show. And I think, Oren Lapkus was on that show, too. But I like how his middle name is Benedict.
Yeah, that's a good name.
Do you think that's mostly like a religious name, or that's how his parents like eggs?
No, they just really love the show Sherlock.
Even though he was born in 1979. And
exactly, yeah.
I mean, I guess...
they're going to name him Cumberbatch.
But then, that CBS sitcom, How We Roll. I never watched that, but what a silly... It sounds like a Simpsons sitcom. Like, he was a successful worker, but now he wants to be a professional bowler. I went bowling, a couple times in the past few months. I haven't been since I was, I don't know, a kid. I've probably already talked about this on the podcast, but...
I remember you talking about it, but it is interesting. Bowling is such an interesting thing because it's a sport, but it's also not.
It's the sport where I can drink beer and eat chicken wings at the same time.
Yeah.
Which is weird. A lot of bowling alleys offer the chicken wing. I don't know if that's such a good idea to have a chicken wing at a bowling alley. Every time I'm eating something at a bowling alley, it's like I got to wash my hands after I have a bite, wash hands, bowl, wash hands, bite, wash hands, bowl. I miss the date.
Here's my pitch.
You didn't care. Here's your roll.
Chinese food bowling alley. You're using chopsticks. And then you're up, and then, yeah.
I mean, I could also just eat with a fork.
Oh, yeah, sure.
So maybe Italian bowling alley. So I got some spaghetti and lasagna. Yeah, why is bowling alley all finger food? It's hot dogs, hamburgers. I guess if you had corn dogs are fine. Yeah.
But yeah.
I'll eat french fries with a fork. I don't have any shame in that. I mean, how do you eat poutine, no. Steve?
Well, you got to have a fork with poutine. I mean, not an animal.
I think poutine is becoming a little bit more popular in the States. So I think we'll see a time when I could see a Jack in the Box having a limited time poutine.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I think it'd be Jack. I mean, it should be Burger King because don't they own Tim Hortons?
I think they do, but you're right. It does seem to be Jack in the Box would be the one to pull that.
And I know Tim Hortons is a donut place, but I'm referencing that it's a Canadian company, so.
Right, right.
But I think it sounds more like a Jack in the Box. Yeah, I can see the
commercial. And Jack in the Box can be good, but it would be satisfying.
Yeah, I could just see the spokesperson Jack with a really silly, bad Canadian accent.
Yeah, maybe wearing either plaid or a hockey sweater.
That Canadian Mounties uniform.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
Did you ever think that we start talking about Pete Holmes and it ends up us talking about Jack in the Box?
I did not, but here we are. Speaking of Pete Holmes. Yeah. So this is the first and subsequently second episode that Pete Holmes has written. However, this is not the first voice he's done because he was also a voice in Bart's Not Dead, the season premiere of season 30. Premieres. Sorry.
I call it a TV hole. we haven't reviewed Bart's Not Dead yet.
We will.
But that episode aired when we had already started the podcast by season 30, right? Or did we start after?
Yeah. No, this is fully in when we were into it.
Oh, yeah. Feels like we just started this podcast a few years ago, but I guess it has been a little bit.
We're coming in on 5 years.
We had our podcast high school graduation, or we graduated.
I think, yeah.
Waiting soon. Okay.
We might be second year seniors.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good name for a band.
Oh, yeah, that's a great emo band name.
Are emo bands still around? Or I think because MySpace isn't around, so there's no emo bands.
That's true, yeah. The world ran out of black eyeliner.
We don't know what the kids listen to now. I think it's just people on TikTok pranking each other. Isn't that the hot music of the day that kids listen to?
I think so. Tiny curses and all that.
All right, well, Steve, let's just get on with the episode. We got a title gag, and this grandpa is an old man. 2019 is falling down with a parachute saying they want me back, while 2020 Maggie is lifted up. I was confused. I'm like, is this an episode? Did the episode just air in the new year? Or at first I thought, is this the first episode in January? I'm like, why is this?
Right.
I understand. Or is this a reference to the pandemic?
It is. This is in April of 2020. Kind of right when the whole world is starting to be affected by the novel coronavirus. And they actually, the title gag is the same one that they used the first of the year in Hail to the Teeth, but they just reversed it and had Grandpa say, they want me back, because at that time, we were still kind of cursing years instead of events. Because I think ever since 2016, we're like, oh man, years are bad because they kill people. not bad governments and global pandemics.
Oh, I thought it was like when Alan Rickman died, everyone was like, oh man, people can die.
I know.
Or what was the big celebrity shock death? Bowie died, and when was Robin
Bowie Williams? Rickman? That was, I think, around that same time too.
Yeah, and as of this record, we just lost Betty White. Shh, we're not supposed to date this podcast, Steve.
Oh, sorry.
Hey, why are you apologizing?
I don't know.
yeah. Oh, and then Mike Pence became the vice president. That's what everyone was mad about, right?
Right, right. Everybody hated Pence.
Yeah.
For being religious.
Yeah. Just like Holmes. They probably hang out at churches together. Call their wife's mother. Is Pete Holmes married?
He is. To a woman who looks a lot like him, weirdly.
Is it just him with like a wig?
It might be. No, actually, about the time that they got married is kind of the time that I dipped out of the show, because he became, I don't know, he just kind of, not changed, but it just became about Pete Holmes and his wife, and yeah.
Let's not talk about him. Steve, how are you and your wife doing?
Oh, we're good. We're great. You know, Laura's going to make some, bake some things today, and we're going to hang out. It's great. It's all about Laura and Steve.
I'm just going to put Steve on mute here. I mean, I'm going to put myself on mute. And then, yeah, keep talking, Steve. That's fine.
Okay.
I'm going to make some coffee. What is it?
Yeah, we're going to go for a walk later. We're going to maybe take the dog out for a jaunt.
This porno doesn't do it for me, but it's way better than Steve talking. Oh, shit. My mute's not on. Right, hey, Steve, is there a billboard gag?
Oh, yeah, we got a billboard gag. It's Monty's Burns and his face is on money, and the text says, "Let a billionaire fix things."
I think that's a reference
how good billionaires are.
Yeah, and I think that's a reference to Donald Trump, who said, "I alone can fix things," and it became a title for the book about Trump gun, "I alone can fix things," and he did. Here we are now.
Yeah,
I don't think this. Yeah, the economy's great. He really brought the people of this country together. Like, we're all happy. It's you know, it's like the 90s again, you know?
Yeah, I think the word that I would describe is unity, because we're all just together as a nation, as one.
Like, you know, he reminds me of probably our greatest president of all time, which was George Washington. And you know how, like, after Washington spent his whole life, like, fighting off England and ultimately, like, getting independence for this country, people say, oh, we should make him king. And he's like, you guys are fucking idiots. The whole point of this country is to get away from that. I'm going to do my term as president, and then you're going to have another guy. And that's just like how Trump acts.
Like, exactly.
King?
No. He'll just modestly go away into the shadows.
Yeah. Much like this podcast eventually.
Yes. Someday. But Craig, before we do that, do we have a billboard gag, or a couch gag rather, but why don't we do a blackboard gag?
Okay. Well, Steve, it's Homer writing, "How did the boy get me to do this?" with Bart watching. I feel like I've seen Homer do that before, but I don't know. It's a nice callback. Like, I feel like they could have added this in like a season 4. It would have been great.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And then we have a couch gag, Steve.
We do. So the family's clothes sit on the couch, while the actual family is shown off-screen backstage shivering in their underwear. And I normally don't do trivia for couch gags, but somebody on the internet wrote something that made me giggle. They said, "If you don't count the final scene of the couch gag, it could give the impression that the Simpson family is invisible," which I guess is technically true, but it's not, because there is an extra scene.
Yeah.
Like, in Citizen Kane, Rosebud could have been his dog, but it's not.
In Jaws, the shark could have been a walrus, but it wasn't. It was a shark.
Yeah, things are things, and that's just the way it is.
They let anyone on the internet write things now, don't they?
That's true. I've heard there's even pornography on there.
Yeah, I was just looking at it a second ago when you were talking.
Oh, okay.
It was two girls and one cup. You should look it up. What year is this?
I like the fact that they're recycling. That's good.
And blue waffle, is that a thing? people used to tell people to look at?
Yeah, yeah, don't look at that.
And how about old Dick Lemon Party? Was that Lemon Party?
It's just Lemon Party, yeah.
Well, I was thinking that 30 Rock quote.
Right, right.
When Liz Lemon's dad comes in.
Richard.
Because her last name's Lemon.
It's not a Lemon Party without old Dick.
I think that was the downfall of our society, was those videos. After that, like, when we were kids, we had that Faces of Death VHS tape that was always, like, circulated around.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't cool enough to get it, but, you know, I heard people that had watched it.
Yeah. I never saw it, but, yeah, I think that there's just nothing that can shock us anymore.
I think there is, Steve, and it is the beginning of this episode, and it begins, as every episode of The Simpsons does, at the First Church of Springfield, where the marquee says, "Donate to Sign Fund. We need deep more." And it says, "Donate to Sign Fund. We need more letters," but it's a lot of letters are missing. Fun sign gag. I feel like there was one recent episode that we reviewed that was similar to this. I think it was at Springfield Elementary where, well, they didn't have missing letters, just everything was misspelled because no one could spell correctly.
Right, right.
But it's fun. Inside, Marge notices that the attendance for Sunday service is low and that even the choir is late. We then go to a cutaway gag where we see the church choir packed in a station wagon, stuck in traffic, singing "Michael, Take the Carpool Lane" to the tune of "Michael, Row Your Boat Ashore." And a cop car behind them, Lou, the cop, sings that they crossed a double line, and Wiggum adds that they should traffic school then.
Back at the church, Bart wonders why they have to sit so close to the geezers, since there's so much free space. Behind the Simpsons, Jasper complains about it being too hot, while an elderly woman next to him complains about it being too cold, and an older gentleman next to her says that he's not even alive, before fading away into nothing. Old Jewish man asks what time Joan Rivers is coming on, and Agnes Lamb of God Skinner replies that she doesn't, and that this church is not his. Which feels a little hateful. Old Jewish man is shocked to find the New Testament asking when that happened.
Wait, you're saying that Agnes would be an anti-Semite?
I mean, it just kind of sounded like that. Yeah, like, this isn't for you. Go back to your synagogue.
Yeah, I don't feel like she would be inherently, like, a bigot.
Yeah.
I just think she hates everyone. It doesn't matter what religion you are, she's going to hate you.
I guess that tracks, yeah.
And that's an okay hateful thing. As long as it's not like a specific group of people. If it's just everyone,
yeah, just
fine.
Hate everybody. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, if you're a hateful person, hate everyone, including yourself.
Yes. Be inclusive in your hate.
Yeah. That's all we're saying. Like, don't love your wife. Don't love your husband. Hate them.
Equally.
Is that our new shirt? Don't love your wife. Don't love your husband. Hate them equally.
I like it.
Yeah, okay, well. Let's go to a clip, Steve. Reverend Lovejoy takes to the pulpit, lights ceremonial candles, and asks Alexa to play Tranquil Oregon Radio. And then he begins the sermon with an enthusiastic crowd.
Peace be with you.
And also with you.
Oh, you can do better than that.
We can, but we don't want to.
I can't hear you.
You clearly can.
Lord, either make this interesting or just rapture me now.
Well, I guess the episode started.
Yeah.
I didn't really have a reaction to that clip that we just played. Are we setting up something, Steve?
Church is boring. I just wanted to elicit that, you know.
Yeah, but it's very boring. Okay.
That's a wrap.
Okay.
Moving right along, as Noah Greenbaum's Spirit in the Sky plays, a figure walks towards the church. The mysterious person is carrying a guitar case with a sticker that says, "Good Stock, 3 days of prayer and fasting." Though his face is not yet shown, we see the man feed a quarter into an expired parking meter. He finds another meter that has passed its time and rolls a quarter down his arm into the slot. Chief Wiggum radios to the station to salt the ham water because he's about to meet his quota of writing parking tickets. Just then, our stranger feeds the meter in front of Clancy. Wiggum shouts that what he's doing is illegal, but the man offers him a quarter. At first, Wiggum is offended by the bribe, but changes his tune when he gets a good look at him. The new guy in town then introduces himself to Reverend Lovejoy.
You think you can bribe me with a... Oh my God, those are the gentlest eyes I've ever seen. Linen shirt, natural highlights. You want to hold my gun? You can.
Thanks. I was hoping maybe you could point me to the church in town.
Church? Yeah, straight down the street. First steeple you see. That is not it. That's the Eiffel Tower Strip Club. They have a French onion soup that is, well, it's just okay.
And I guess that's about all.
Oh, come on!
Come on, let's go!
You shall pull me no more!
You're going the wrong way!
No, I want to go this way. I love God.
If you love him so much, why did you marry him?
Penny. Button. I owe you for one penny.
Hi, Bodie Wright.
Recovery meetings are downstairs. Booze to the right, huffers to the left.
Sorry, I'm here about the ad on Craigslist about you guys needing a youth pastor.
I didn't place any ad.
I placed the ad.
Oh.
I'm Bodie.
Bodie? Nice cross. Tim's are chewed to nubs.
I chew my crosses. Nervous habit.
Couple things we could discuss. Before the clip, mm-hmm. I always thought it was weird that paying people's like parking meters is illegal.
Yeah.
Just kind of messed up. You're just trying to be nice and, you know, paying it forward.
It doesn't hurt anybody. In fact, it helps. Like, the whole point of a parking meter is to help fund people's, you know, the stuff. Like the streets and stuff. And I know you make more money off parking tickets, but yeah, it's silly. It's, I remember in the 90s, like, there would be news stories about, like, somebody dressing up like a ballerina or a clown or a fairy or whatever and feeding people's meters and then they'd get arrested. It's weird.
Tangentially, there's something I watched on the news the other day that just really, like, irked me, like, pissed me off so much, and it was predatory tow truck companies.
Ooh.
There is a news article about this volunteers going to this low-income housing apartment complex. They were helping a woman and their kid with housing stuff. There's a tow truck guy out there, and the apartment complex, you had to, you know, have a permit, and the volunteers are saying, we're here to help someone, so we're going to park here, and they're like, yeah, that's fine. And then when they're done helping, they come out, and they notice that they got a ticket, and then they're towing the truck, and they have to go and get their car and pay the tow truck company. And it's like, the tow truck company, this company just waits and like they can't take the car off the tow truck. Like, no, you have to come pick it up. You got to pay the fine. And the fines are expensive too.
Yeah.
So they're just these tow truck companies that are just predatory, just sitting and watching just so they could make money. It's gross.
Yeah, it is gross. So yeah.
My new agenda is like anti-tow truck companies.
I respect that.
Unless you're a tow truck driver, listen to this. They're not like you. You're cool.
Yeah.
But it's the predatory ones that are. It's gross. So
it is. Yeah.
I think that it's like, how is that legal?
Feels like it shouldn't be.
Wait and watch. No. And it's also low income housing. And they're talking to other people like they towed a car because it was parked there for 3 days, even though they live there because they thought, yeah, it's like, oh, they couldn't see the tag on the windshield or they parked too close on the line. They'll just tow every. And it's a low income housing too. So it's. Like, you have a fixed income.
And you probably need that car to get to work to get that income that you have.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And that money.
Double bad.
To pay. Yeah.
Ugh.
So, the two things I hate as a man of hate.
Yes.
I mean, I hear it, you know, as a man of hate.
Sure.
Tow truck companies and David Zaslav. Those are the only things I hate at this moment, so.
Okay. Well, the show's still going.
David.
So Dave, plenty of time.
David Zaslav, the CEO of Warner Discovery, just whatever it is. He's just bad man all around. Bad billionaire.
Yeah. Is there a good one?
Mr. Burns.
Okay, yeah. So, it's interesting to be a writer of a show. You'd be like, hey, I'm going to write an episode for this long-running animated show, but I'm going to write myself as a character, and I'm going to voice that character. That seems normal, that's fine. But I'm also going to make this a two-part episode, and I'm going to make myself the most attractive, charismatic man that's ever existed. It's a little weird.
Yeah, he looks like Jonathan Taylor Thomas, like a 20-something Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
Yeah.
Like, I imagine that's what he looks like when he was, like, 25.
Right, right. So it's interesting.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, that's what I look like.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm hot.
Yeah, I don't look like Val Kilmer. Mesh.
What's that saying about false idols, Jesus, Christy, like,
oh, yeah, yeah.
Come as an attractive face, something like that.
Yeah, yeah, something like that. You got all the points
don't
there.
Know it.
I was, this is one of God's tests to make sure you know it, Craig.
Oh, okay. All I know is Jesus was white and American. That's all that matters.
Right.
what's Jesus' favorite football team? Would it be the Saints?
I mean, that would make sense.
Or is he a Cowboys fan?
Well, he isn't a good American, so he should be.
Yeah, that's America's team, right? The Cowboys?
Yeah.
But no one
definitely
likes
not the Lions.
You better not be a Patriots fan. Actually, you should be a Patriots fan.
Yeah.
Oh, it's the Denver Broncos.
Oh.
Actually, I think the Denver Broncos suck now, don't they? So that joke is fine now.
Yeah.
All we know is that he's not an Eagles fan, because then he'd have to be at your house every Monday and Sunday or whenever they play.
I don't want that.
All right. Well, the post Helen placed on a Christ list says, a desperately seeking sermon asking for unhappy minister's wife, First Church of Springfield, 821 Evergreen Terrace. So that's interesting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The churches on Evergreen Terrace, could they just like not walk there if it's 821?
It's like a block away.
Yeah. Why are they driving? Or, you know what'd be funny is I don't know if this is an established thing, but like all the streets should be Evergreen Terrace and yeah. Springfield.
Right. There's just one long street.
Yeah. Remember like playing Tapped Out and like I was one of those people that had to make sure like Flanders and the Simpsons house and then the house next to the Simpsons, you know, the
right
other neighbors like always had to be next to each other. Like I thought it was weird, like people putting like the Simpsons house and like Flanders house on like, somewhere else on the map. I'm like, what are you doing? That's not how it's supposed to go.
Yeah. Or like Moe's has to be next to King Toots.
Right. I think after they just started adding more buildings, he had like less land. It was just like, right. I give up. I'm not going to try to make Springfield look like Springfield. That was the whole point of the game, is do whatever you want.
Yeah. And there were so many things that were just like canonically in an episode or something that, you know, I don't have room for Mount Carlmore.
Right. It's like, and, damn it, I have to redesign the whole map because there's now the monorail.
Right, right. That game stressed me out.
Your wife's like, Steve, we really need to do our taxes. I can't.
Get
tapped out.
I got to figure
out. It's April 15th.
I don't care. I got to figure out where to put this tax store that that good old Gil runs.
And I got to make all the characters do a 20-hour task so then I can go to bed.
Yeah, so tired. I need to sleep. But I'm going to get some donuts. Our big time is going to come.
Yeah. There's some other listings in the Christ list, including Need Innocent Priest Now? Ask Me How.
Baptized Your Baby at Mount Splashmore.
Howard's Funeral Home, where more than just flowers.
Same Blood of Christ, half the calories.
Church Basement Grade Casserole.
Bed's Deodorant, take the P-U out of pew.
True Cross Relics 845.
Organ Pipes, Assorted Tones.
Prayed Out Rosaries. I'm going back to the True Cross Relics. Like, isn't that one of the biggest scams? Like,
oh,
people
yeah.
People buy, like, oh, this is a wood piece from the actual. Like, how many are there out there?
Yeah. They,
like, the.
It'd be advertised in the back of a parade magazine in your Sunday paper.
Oh, I know what I'm getting Grandma for Christmas. No, it'd be your grandma getting it for you for Christmas. Like,
right,
is
right.
This from the cross. Like, Steve, are you saying the church is just a scam organization?
Maybe. Not a religious podcast, but.
There's nothing surely wrong with, like, the Catholic Church, like the Vatican. Like, they're not hiding anything, right?
Oh, no. It's all above board, and there's nothing funny going on in the rectory.
Yeah. I don't want anything funny going on in the rectory. That's for my proctologist to look around in.
Yeah, right? Not your man of God. Well, speaking of man of God, Reverend Lovejoy asks about Bodhi's experience in the spiritual world, and Bodhi explains that he used to work in Michigan, joking that he had to use bottled holy water. When Timothy inquires about education, Bodhi states that he has a master's in divinity with a focus on biblical languages such as Greek and Hebrew. Helen, perhaps a bit hornily, tells Bodhi that he's hired, but Timothy isn't so sure. He wants to go through all the protocols, such as I-9s, W-2s, and collar fittings. Reverend Lovejoy then claims to be in charge, but his wife corrects him, saying, "Isn't God in charge here?" To which Timothy replies, "Do you see Jimmy Buffett at every Jimmy Buffett cafe?" And one, not anymore. And two, why didn't he say Margaritaville? I feel like it would have like hit the joke harder, but that's just me. Maybe it's a copyright thing.
Yeah, maybe he just doesn't know it's called Margaritaville.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I just looked it up. There was never something called the Jimmy Buffett Cafe. Yeah. Maybe it's funnier that way.
Yeah.
Maybe Pete, well, Pete Holmes wrote this. Maybe he doesn't know it's called Margaritaville.
Maybe, yeah.
He's like, I don't know, like a Jimmy Buffett cafe. And like, okay, Pete, sure.
Maybe they tried a Jimmy Buffett cafe, but people were confused because there was no buffet.
Jimmy, yeah. Why did he call it Jimmy Buffet's buffet?
Yeah.
Jimmy Buffett buffet. What if it was just a margarita buffet? Like, you could just...
Ooh.
Oh, that sounds kind of fun.
This place is great, but I can't find that damn shaker of salt.
Who's got my Heinz 57? I don't know. That's my punch-up. But, you know, like, a lot of bars will do make-your-own Bloody Mary bar. So they give you the vodka, and then you just go mix your own. I'm like, why can't they make your own margarita bar? Like, they hand you the tequila, and... I mean, I guess not much. You have ice and then flavor. But then garnish, you know, put on whatever you want.
Yeah, you can plus it up a little
bit. I guess it's more like a... more of like a daiquiri, right? Like, to put, like, fruit on the rim. You don't really put fruit... Well, you put a lime on it. Yeah. There's flavored margaritas. But, you know, I feel like if I'm at a Mexican restaurant and then they have, like, a whole page of margarita flavors, like, this, I'm like, it's a little too overwhelming for me. I'm like, just give me a classic, like a Cadillac or just... Yeah. Classic. Classic margarita is great. And I was getting into, like, the summer making homemade margaritas.
Ooh, yeah.
Like fresh squeezed lime juice. I made my own simple syrup.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, some tequila and salt rim and another fresh lime. And
delightful.
A little bit of, God, it was so good. But I just, like, could suck those down so fast. And, like, Also, it wasn't cost effective to keep juicing my own limes because there's not a lot of juice that comes out the lime. Like, it took maybe like five or six limes.
And limes are not
cocktail.
As expensive, or limes are more expensive than they should be, honestly.
Yeah. And then I end up just buying like the bottle of lime juice. And I just said, I'm just getting the Jose Cuervo mix. Yeah. Margarita. Oh, we can't have that, Steve. All right. Well,
yeah.
Homer pops into the church asking if he can take the teething basket as it's useful for Marge to feed him snacks while he's on the toilet. He just hold a bowl, I guess not. Helen,
fill it.
Just so, oh, true. It's just like a weird visual in my mind of like Marge just standing outside, like looking so sad, like holding the teething basket, the door kind of ajar because, you know, she doesn't want to hear the shit dropping from his ass into the toilet, but she does. But then Homer just eating. I don't know what he's eating. Raisins.
Matter. Ew.
What's like the grossest thing? I mean, eating while doing number two is very gross, but like what would be the grossest food?
Bowl of chili.
It's like a chocolate fountain at a buffet. Like it just keeps going and going and going.
Let's see. How many minutes in before we talked about shit? Okay.
It was funny. Speaking of chili, I was at a restaurant the other day, and I was overhearing the waitress talking, or the customer talking to the waitress, like, how's the chili? And the waitress is like, honestly, it's not good. Don't get it. Every time you go to a restaurant and you ask the waiter or waitress, oh, how's this food? I'm like, oh, it's great.
Yeah.
I've never heard them be so, like, candid and honest. Just like, no, yeah, it sucks. You don't want that.
I think
it lights on the menu.
If a server warns you not to eat something, I assure you should not eat that.
Yeah.
So like, that's
Why that server, I'm like, I want her to be my server. So I'm like, what do you recommend? Because then I will believe that person. Does anyone come in and ask you opinions on something?
Yeah, they'll ask some things.
And
about, like,
honest.
I try to be like, we have a deli at my store and it's very good. However, I think it could benefit with, most things could benefit with some salt. And so, you know, I'm like, it's a great starting point, and I think if you season up a little bit, it's delicious. So, you know, I'm honest, but I'm nice, you know. I just want people to have a good experience, and so, yeah.
How's this salt like, Steve?
You could use a little salt. Also a little pepper.
All right, well, so Helen asks Bodhi if he has a place to stay, and to which he doesn't, but he saw a motel by the tire fire, and then we do another cutaway gag where we see a grand opening of that hotel where an errant flaming tire rolls into the massive fire, causing all the rooms to go up in smoke. And Helen insists that Bodhi stay with them, but Timothy won't allow it.
Oof. Just then, Ned comes in with a number of houseless folks in for their foot washing. One of your gentlemen who really wants a mani-pedi in addition to an eyebrow wax. Realizing that he needs the help, Timothy gives Bodhi the position. Bodhi goes in for a hug, promising to do his best. Timothy says that they don't do hugs there, but Helen is eager to embrace the new hire. Krusty shows up for the Alcoholic Anonymous meeting, saying that it's usually him, Lenny, Carl, Bumblebee Man, and Kent Brockman, but don't tell anyone because it's anonymous. Reverend Lovejoy points the clown downstairs and to the right, and Krusty says that Lunch Lady Dora, King Toot, and a man he identifies as Disco S also attend the meetings. And then Disco Stu pops in saying, Disco S is quite a mess. It's very funny.
What a great gag.
Yeah.
Helen Lovejoy, presumably after receiving enough donations from the new letter fund, updates the church marquee to say, today's troubled marriage, The Simpsons. Marge and Homer arrive to receive some counseling from Reverend Lovejoy, but he's a bit distracted.
Marge, this is embarrassing. We don't need counseling.
We do need counseling. I'm carrying a lot of anger.
Let's do what I do. Come home and have a hot dinner waiting for you.
Well, let me just say that I go into this with no preconceptions. Now tell me, how is this Homer's fault?
He sold our home without telling me.
Helen, is he playing with my damn trains? Excuse me, there's trouble down at Lovejoy Junction.
So we're good?
We're good if we get our house back.
Did you say houseboat?
House back! House back!
Would you live on a houseboat?
Dear God, no.
I mean, you don't have to, like, worry about mowing a lawn.
That's true, but I hate that. I don't know. It's just not something that really appeals to me.
About every couple years when this area has a big snowstorm, and then you always see on the news after, like, the melt and the rivers get flooded, you always see houseboats floating away. You're like, oh, that's why we don't live on water. But I imagine, like, plumbing probably easy because you just open the toilet and it's just there, right? Like, there's no flushing.
Yeah, probably. But, like, do you, like...
I'm afraid of Jaws coming up and biting my ass.
Exactly. And, like, do you have, like, water? Like, just, I don't know. There's just so many questions and so few answers.
Here's how I'd have the houseboat. Like, it's not my actual house. It's just, like, a vacation property that I own. And then I would just Airbnb it.
That makes sense.
But also, the maintenance, probably. I don't know. You're right. The land is for the humans, the fish is for the water. That's where the fishes live, Steve, the water.
Under the sea.
Yeah.
So later that evening, the church sign has once again been updated to read, if you were God, you'd be home by now. Inside, Bodhi sleeps soundly on Timothy's model train village. His slumber is interrupted by a train forcing itself down his throat, and Bodhi awakens, revealing his Jesus Says Relax t-shirt. He tells Reverend Lovejoy that he's trying to get some rest, but Timothy replies that the 1210 to Trenton doesn't stop just because his fat head is on the track.
Is the Jesus Says Relax a reference to the Frankie Says Relax shirts?
I do think so, yeah. But probably with a different masturbation message.
Now, we won't live on a houseboat, but I don't think we've talked about it before. I think I could be that model train guy. Like, that kind of seems kind of fun.
That seems like just a perfect late world life mood for you. Yeah, no, I see that totally.
I think I would want to build Springfield, but like build the monorail.
Oh yeah.
And like my little people would be like Simpsons, and like actually build Springfield the way it should look, and like tapped out.
Oh yeah.
But like that sounds kind of fun, right?
You like, could have Mr. Bergstrom like leaving
we got
every day.
But no, do I have train? I mean, you gotta have trains, like, or do I do it as a monorail?
Yeah, that's true.
I think maybe have the monorail, but like broken, but right, just have a still have a train, but Springfield. Have the train go through, like, Mount Carl more. I know that's not canon. I'm saying all about the canon of Springfield, but, you know, I have to tweak some things.
Yeah.
I, you know, I'm going to have the town square. And with, like, 3D printers, why can't I do this? I could print the Simpsons buildings, paint them.
Oh, yeah.
That's what you're supposed to do. You know, it's a hobby. You paint the figures. Oh. All right, Steve. I know what I'm going to be doing for the rest of my life as a hobby. Model train, Springfield. And then I'll invite all the nerds to come and see it.
It'll be a hit. A hit, I tell you.
All right, well, after stopping a train with his foot, Bodhi moves a model mountain and places it a pillow upon it, hoping to go back to sleep. Also, do they not have a couch for him to sleep on? He has to sleep on the model train. That'd be like saying, Steve, you can stay the night. Here's my dining table.
Right.
Anyways, the two men have an argument back and forth, and Timothy demanding that Bodhi leave his choo-choo alone. Bodhi agrees, turning his back, and Timothy then flips the table over, flipping Bodhi with it. Later, In this clip, Timothy offers Bodhi some guidance before they get to work.
Now, my sleepy young friend, I don't know how you did things back in Michigan.
Air quotes are for when something's not a real thing.
But in my parish, we minister to our flock, and I'm not afraid to say the hard things that need to be said. I-27.
What?
What did he say?
We can't hear you.
B-3.
You know, I'd be happy to yell out numbers for you. Help save your voice.
Bingo requires a firm, experienced caller. G-48 and N-43.
I got nothing.
I think I can handle it. When I was in seminary school, I was the shouty guy on our rowing team. We weren't allowed to say coxswain.
Bingo is not for newbies. The letters sound very similar. B-15, B as in Balthazar.
Did he say Balthazar?
Gingo!
Gingo take you to bathroom.
I don't wanna go.
Hey, this no picnic for Gingo either.
Just for a quick reference, Grandpa doesn't have a bingo card there. He just has a calendar.
It's very funny.
Gingo, that's funny. Bingo, also something I'm going to do when I'm old.
I'm surprised you don't do it already, honestly.
I've done it a couple times, and I've won, and it's fun.
Yeah, it does look like fun. I mean, do you get, like, multiple boards, or...?
I think I had, like, 4.
That sounds about good number.
I could deal with 4, yeah. Yeah, the one I actually won was at an actual, like, bingo hall.
Wow.
With, like, old people, and I remember calling bingo, and then I didn't have it, and they were all pissed at me.
Oh, it's the biggest faux pas you can make in bingo.
There was... the TV show Impractical Jokers. It's probably on right now.
Yeah, True TV.
It's on True TV. But I just remember, like, one of the punishments, the most cringy punishment was, I think, Sal, and he had to call bingo, like, every time at a bingo hall and just, like, looking at all the people's faces, like, ready to kill him. It was so cringy.
Ugh.
But then I eventually, like, did win.
Nice.
And then I did, like, a drag bingo a while back, and that was kind of fun.
That sounds like fun.
It was like a drag brunch. But I love the when Lovejoy air quotes Michigan.
Yeah.
It's true. Steve, is Michigan really real? I mean,
I've never been there, so I have no idea.
All we know is that's the land of Eminem and Kid Rock.
Yeah, think about what's come from Michigan. Tell me this place is real. We've got Kid Rock, Kiss, the Insane Clown Posse, and Tim Allen. Like
Cars.
Yeah, and Cars 2.
Not the band Cars, but the thing you drive.
Right.
And Cars 3. Yeah, and they have lakes. Whatever, we have an ocean.
And you're shaped like a mitten? What do you... This is a magical land.
And a world of Kid Rocks, be an Eminem.
Hey, that's a nice
that's
message.
That's what we wanted to say. Well, the Simpsons sit in church observing that it is once again empty. Marge notices that Jimbo and Shauna are there just to make out. And as the tune teens kiss passionately, Shauna says that if they do it in a church, she, like, can't get pregnant. Is that true, Steve?
I know several Catholic priests who would say that, and none of their altar boys got pregnant.
Yeah, although...
So.
No. That's a sitcom. A priest gets an altar boy pregnant. Come on, everyone would watch it.
Oh, yeah. The holiest of holies.
Starry Rob Schneider as the priest.
And the boy.
I don't know why. Yeah. Reverend Lovejoy tries to begin his sermon, but finds that he has lost his voice. And choir leader Michael tells the sparse crowd that the Reverend is experiencing some vocal difficulties. And after Timothy tries and fails to speak again, Michael suggests that they cancel the service. And Gertie begins to play a happy tune on the organ, and a few members of the congregation in attendance begin to dance. Now Michael finishes thought saying that God clearly foresaw Timothy's vocal woos and sent them a backup pastor to finish the service. And everybody groans in disappointment. And in the cry room, kids and adults both weep loudly. Like, I'd rather have Michael be leading the sermon.
Yeah, he's got a great voice.
Yeah.
So youth pastor Bodhi Wright takes to the stage saying that Jesus would have loved the meek introduction. He suggests that they all sing a song, if that's okay with Reverend Lovejoy, saying that he should cough once for approval. So Timothy coughs twice, and because the meaning of two coughs was not yet established, Bodhi assumes it means two yeses. After some laughter from the crowd, Bodhi offers that they sing Amazing Grace, which can be found in the hymnal under Grace, Amazing.
So Bodhi strums his guitar playing a soulful sing-talk rendition of the hymn, and Lisa's impressed, but Ned is disgusted. In his eyes, Bodhi is a club-and-footed devil playing an electric guitar with his tail. Michael, the choir leader, loves the performance, saying it's the most exciting thing to ever happen in a white church. Marge also likes the song, saying that after years of mediocre grace, finally it's amazing. Homer thinks that this is what it was like at the One of Jesus' concert, and then he's imagining the King of Kings twirling a microphone and striding to, in an open vest with no shirt underneath. Very, like, Jim Morrison-y look.
Yeah.
Right? So the Son of God continues his performance in Homer's mind, presenting some new psalms, which elicit boos from the imaginary crowd.
It's a funny thought. So at Springfield Elementary, bullies Jimbo, Dolph, and Kearney wedge Milhouse and set him up a flagpole. Now, wasn't Jimbo just boning Shauna, like, in the church?
Maybe. There's two Jimbos.
Oh.
They're twins, and we just never knew.
Maybe. Or maybe he just had some, like, he finished and he's like, I need to do some bullying.
Well, as we know, the church is on Evergreen Terrace, and so is Springfield Elementary.
That's true.
They're probably right by each other.
Yeah, so he just zipped up and walked over.
They're just at someone's tapped out, and like, this person placed it here, so, yeah.
Milhouse can see that something is happening to the church, so the bullies go to check it out, leaving the young Van Houten boy to hang. As people slowly trickle into the church, Bodhi finishes the song, saying that he knows that most people save their hallelujahs for when church is over. This delights Shishel Mel, who loves the informality. Bodhi then offers to speak from the heart. He doesn't have anything planned, but figures that, you know, he should probably talk about God.
Church, pastor, makes sense I should talk about God. But the truth is, I woke up this morning and I wasn't really sure if I believed in God.
No, God!
Fingers in your ears, boys, till you can feel the brain.
It's okay. Everything's fine. I just woke up with some doubt, like many of you did too, I'm sure. There's so much pain and suffering in the world, I wasn't sure anyone was really out there. Watching us on a cloud, that's how we think of God, right? To many of us, God is just an angry old miser with a killer surveillance system.
Everyone picks on the miser. Shave faster or no tip.
Oh, I shave a faster, all right.
Hurry up, I'm going to a funeral.
Oh, you're going to a funeral, all right.
Oh, this is taking too long.
I gotta stop procrastinating.
Then I got quiet and thought about it. It hit me that maybe God isn't up there, you know, somewhere else. Maybe God's right here and now, as close as the air on your skin.
For the first time ever, I don't feel alone. Life is worth living. Hey, forget that hit I called on myself, huh?
Yeah, well, I said too late.
Can't you just charge me a stalking fee?
Okay, 40%. And you can only cancel on the app.
I really like the shaving guy. He's a fun voice.
Was he really going to kill Mr. Burns?
Maybe if he got to it eventually. Also, stalking fee is funny. This, yeah.
Is that also like a stalking fee when like you send something back?
Exactly.
To like a company like, well, yeah, okay. So Mo goes to cancel his self-inflicted hit on the murder app, MRDR, or RDRR. Sorry. But he finds that his screen is frozen. So Bodhi continues offering the concept that God is just a word for a love we create and remember together. That isn't mad at us for our doubt or angry at us because we're alcoholics. Barney, in a rare sober moment, is glad to be recognized for his accomplishments. So Bodhi goes on to say that most of us have made a God that looks like us instead of the other way around. He then speaks to God's love of diversity, like the thousands of varieties of flowers, and this causes the figures in the stained glass to return, eager to hear what Bodhi has to say next. Bodhi says that God loves all of the flowers and weeds indiscriminately, just like the bees. Bumblebee Man says that he is now a humble bee.
So yeah, that's kind of like Pete Holmes' whole spiritual deal, is that he doesn't necessarily believe in religion as like a bunch of rules, but as kind of a more broad love thing. So it's kind of a beautiful thing if you think about it.
I too enjoy a broad love. I mean, I love broads.
Who doesn't?
Oh, so you said.
Those gentlemen over there, they don't. Hi, gay men.
No, gay men love broads too.
That's true. But yeah, that's true. They love a brassy broad. Oftentimes they're best friends. After a quote from the Bible, Bodhi tells the people to go easy on themselves. God's love isn't earned, since everyone is God's love. Bodhi then wraps things up, noting what a beautiful day it is. Homer imagines Jesus at a merch table selling Holy Land tour shirts, along with crowns of thorn, bottles of wine, and loaves of bread. Homer wipes away his dream cloud and chants, Bodie, 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 and the other prisoners join in. Ned calls for 3 cheers for Lovejoy, and Homer remarks, stupid Flanders, and the rest of the crowd also join in. Homer says that he loves Church, which Marge is happy to hear, because that means that she won't be single in heaven.
Oh, that's nice of Marge. Like,
yeah,
you know, you're in heaven, and you say your vows till death do us part, so like, once you're dead, you're not married.
Right.
And in heaven, you know, fuck whoever.
It's true.
See, we've probably discussed this on the podcast, but real quickly, who are your, top 3 go-tos in heaven, like, once you're dead?
Oh, boy. Joan of Arc, Amelia Earhart.
Noah's wife?
Yeah. And Anna Nicole Smith.
What's Anna Nicole Smith?
Jeez. I don't know.
What a weird poll. And Amelia Earhart, I don't think she's dead yet, Steve. She's like still alive with the aliens that abducted her.
Oh, that makes sense.
I think I would go with, let's see here. I was going to say Slimer from Ghostbusters, but technically he's still alive because he's living in this world.
It's true.
Oh, man. Okay, how about, what about the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man? Because technically he dies at the end of the first movie, right? So is he in heaven?
I think he might be.
Stay Puft would be kind of fun. I mean, right?
Yeah. Well, sticky, but fun.
Okay. You know, it's just like sex, right? It's fun when it's sticky, but then afterwards, like, what a mess.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll go to Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. Maybe like Nancy Reagan in front of Ronald.
Oh.
Is that okay?
Yeah, yeah.
All right. And then like we can like do lines of blow. Like it'd be just really funny. Like and listen to like rap music with explicit lyrics.
After all, she is the throat goat.
Oh, maybe we do it on Mr. T's lap when like he passes.
I pity the fool who don't come early. Ooh, can I do that voice? I don't think so.
No, no. But remember that there's that photo of like
yeah.
Nancy Reagan on Mr. T's lap.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so I got Nancy Reagan, Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, and then let's go with it's a Simpsons podcast. I'm gonna go with Mona Simpson.
Oh.
Homer's mom.
Could have gone Maude, but nope.
She Oh man. Damn, you're right. I mean I'm also, in heaven, you could be, like, whatever age you want to be, right?
And it's true.
The way, so I'm imagining it's Mona, a little bit younger. You know, she was a good-looking Simpsons lady, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to take back your Anna Nicole Smith and go for Maude now?
Yeah, I think I might.
All right. In front of, like, when Ned dies, like, banging, like, railing Maude in heaven in front of Ned.
Mm-hmm. Oakley doakley.
All right.
So... As the service ends, Homer gets a selfie with Bodie, calling Church some kind of religious experience. He then invites Bodie out to pancakes. The rest of the flock to Bodie, while Ned notices Timothy's vestments, which really bring out the piety. Reverend Lovejoy says he doesn't need the patronization, but when Ned tells him that he had a really poor showing, Timothy please asks that he go back to the patronizing. And Ned does so, complimenting Timothy's well-tied shoes with loops oh so even. Clearly somebody knows the bunny ear technique. Unfortunately, Timothy reluctantly admits that Helen tied his shoes for him. And then later, Bodie, the Simpsons, and several members of the church enjoy a post-service brunch at a Batter Place, a restaurant offering pancakes, waffles, and baseball memorabilia.
Pastor, would you like to say grace? Lord. Oh, sorry, I should have been more specific. I meant the cool new pastor everyone likes. You can sit down.
You know, I think the food is good without me saying it's good. God made it good. Don't get me wrong, it's nice to be thankful, but there's no need to make everyone uncomfortable by praying in front of them. Am I right?
Nice speech, although longer than grace.
Oh, no bacon for me. I'm a vegetarian. And actually, a Buddhist.
Great. I love Buddha. That's where I got my name, the Bodhi tree. And I don't eat meat either.
You're a vegetarian? What about evolution?
Into it.
Gay rights?
Love is love.
Dizzy or Bird?
John Coltrane and Duke Ellington, 1962.
The only way to describe how perfect that jazz answer is with jazz.
This brunch has turned into a jazz brunch!
Lisa's one of those... And actually, people,
mm-hmm.
Like when they're going through the jazz phase, I'm going to do one with you real quick, Steve.
Okay.
Marky or Tommy?
Tommy.
I'm, of course, talking about the Ramones.
Yes.
You figured, it took you a second to figure out, right?
Yeah, but I got there.
All right, Dee Dee or CJ?
Come on. He's crazy, but you got to go Dee Dee.
Yeah. What about Richie Ramone, who's also a drummer?
Yeah, I think that he didn't drum for a long time, but I think he actually has a fine spot in the pantheon of the Ramones. Because, you know, Tommy was first, but Richie, you know, is he held his own, so.
Wait a minute. Is this an episode of Hey Ho, Let's Go?
The I think it is.
Comprehended and extensive podcast about all things Ramones, from self-titled Ramones all the way to Adios Amigos. This is good rock and roll music. I think the first four albums are classic. You got the Ramones, Leave Home, mm-hmm. Rocket to Russia, yeah. and Road to yeah. Ruin. Are the gold standard, right? But
I think so.
Very much similar sound, as in, like, it's, you know, you put all four of those albums together and it just sounds like one giant album. Whereas, like, end of the century, they start more experimenting, slowing it down, you know, more melodic type of tunes.
With, I would argue, mixed results. Some very well and yeah. some not so much.
Right. Do you have any of the like later stuff are you a fan of? Like Adios Amigos, the last album, I think is pretty good.
I agree. And I also think that Acid Eaters, their cover album, is also very well done because they do a lot of 60s trippy songs in their own Ramones right. style. And I think that's pretty good.
What's the weakest link in the Ramones discography, Steve?
Oh, boy. I would say it's similar Halfway to Sanity or Brain Drain would probably be kind of where I feel like they were at their weakest. However, Brain Drain does have Pet Sematary and Merry Christmas, I Don't Want to Fight, which are two very good songs. Halfway to Sanity...
Both great Christmas tunes.
It's true. Halfway to Sanity doesn't have a lot of memorable hits, although it does have a song called I'm Not Jesus, which is also a great Christmas mm-hmm. tune, because, you know, it's Christmas time and most people aren't Jesus, so...
Oh yeah, and this episode's about Jesus, so... Yeah, that'll do it for this edition of Hey Ho, Let's Go, the Ramones podcast. Let's go back to the regular scheduled Simpsons podcast now.
All right. Great end.
Great episode. I just always think it's weird that comic book guy is part of the church. I like, yeah. He's in here, but like, and he's wearing the tuxedo shirt. Like, we're not church goer type of people.
Mm-hmm.
I just do, like, normal churches, like, not normal. What is normal church? I mean, you know,
right.
But like, what do, like, your Episcopalians, your Methodists, your... Well, that's all I know about. Catholics aside, do people still dress up for church, Sunday church? I just imagine they maybe wear a nice sweater or a nice khaki.
Yeah.
Wearing ties, right?
I don't think the concept of, like, your quote-unquote Sunday best is, like, still happening. Like, I don't think people are wearing, like, a three-piece suit or anything to go to church.
Yeah, our Sunday best now is wearing a Travis Kelce jersey, right?
Exactly. And your teeth shirt.
Right. Do I get a Swift 89 jersey?
Oh.
No, I won't do that.
That would sell so big, though. That would be huge.
I'm sure. No, it's already, you know.
Yeah.
I think that, isn't that a seller? Like, either they get 89 because that's the year she was born, or 87 is Travis's number, or they do 13 because that's her favorite number.
Right.
Do you think Taylor Swift should just go back to the year 1389 and live a happy life?
I think so, yeah. She and Joan of Arc can hang out. Wait a minute. Is she Joan of Arc? Is she a time-traveling hero?
I bet Doctor Who himself, mm-hmm. or sorry, themself, because, you know, Doctor could be whatever gender,
right.
probably takes Taylor Swift into the TARDIS, and then they have adventures.
Oh, man. Make for a great show.
But, man, you know, speaking of sports, that restaurant looks fun. I kind of want to eat there, Steve.
Yeah, I mean, you love breakfast food and you love baseball, so it's like perfectly made for Craig.
They should do like morning baseball games where, you know, instead of eating Cracker Jacks and hot dogs, you're eating waffles, pancakes, and drinking Bloody Marys or mimosas.
That sounds like fun.
Yeah. Is there a breakfast equivalent to peanuts, you know, like shelled peanuts?
That's a good question. I mean, I would say that if it were in a baseball stadium, you could serve, like, dry cereal.
Maybe, like, a hazelnut, but then you got to have, like, a nutcracker, because that's a good, like, morning nut. Steve, do you ever have a morning nut?
Occasionally, yeah.
With your wife or without your wife?
A little bit of both. So, Lisa cries out that she's a believer. And while Bodhi thinks that's great, he feels that faith doesn't come down to what we believe. Agnes shouts that you have to believe in the baloney if you want to get into heaven. And then Mo imagines heaven, or maybe, just maybe, he could see the mother that abandoned him once more. He then imagines his mother holding a sign that says, "I want my basket back." Bodhi believes that heaven can be found here on Earth while one is still alive. And then he cites a Chinese proverb.
They say hell is a long table like this, full of food, but everybody's starving because they have these long chopsticks, like pool cues, and they can't bring the food to their mouths.
This is the worst year of the ox ever.
But in the proverb, heaven is the exact same table. Same food, same long chopsticks, but everybody's happy and fat because they're feeding each other.
Aww. Wait, wait, I can be cool too, with humor. Did you hear the one about the Greek-Jewish wedding? They didn't know whether to break the plates or the glasses.
Miss, why don't you take your cultural insensitivity back to the Spanish Inquisition you came from?
I've lost them.
You never had us.
I had Reverend Lovejoy.
I don't know. Unlike us.
Yeah.
Also, you know, are Reverend supposed to be offensive? I think all religion is offensive, Steve.
I think you're right. Not a religious podcast.
You know, I like that Chinese proverb, but I kind of don't want people feeding me.
No, that's a little weird. Yeah, I agree. It's
why can't we just use our hands? We can get the food that way.
Yeah, it's a lot easier, and, you know, a lot of people do it, and it's fine.
I'll just put my head in the plate and start gorging on a hot food.
Yeah, hot soup. Why not? Just...
I'm going to go on Shark Tank with the invention of the scuba soup eater.
Ooh.
It's essentially a nose plug, like a whole face mask where you can breathe air, but then just your mouth is open to the food and you just suck away. It's like you put a bowl on your head, bowl food head.
So it's like almost like you have a fish bowl on your head, but it's just surrounded with soup.
I like this. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Maybe it doesn't have to be soup. You could have, you know, pudding or...
True, yeah.
Cereal.
Nacho cheese.
That's still the dream, isn't it? To have the nacho hat that Homer wears.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know many people made that hat on the internet, but...
It's just so hard because a lot of times when you see the hat, I feel like the... it's a fine balance of having it thick enough to hold your structural integrity, but also thin enough to keep the crispiness of a chip. So it's a hard game to play.
Like, would you rather just have it be like a full-on sombrero and with like a divot in the middle for the cheese, but then around the brim of the hat, you just load it with chips and then you can still dip from your hat? And then you're not really eating your hat.
Yeah, I think that's probably a better move.
What about a spaghetti hat? Is that going to sound good?
I like a spaghetti hat.
Or, you know, like the hats with the two beer cans on it. How about it's like two bowls of spaghetti with straws, so you can just suck the spaghetti through the straw.
And what if you had crazy sunglasses, too, like the straw sunglasses? So the noodles go around your eyes and then into your mouth. Like,
yeah, that'd be kind of fun.
Yeah, I think so.
All right, well, in his church office, Reverend Lovejoy munches on Jesus crackers, layman's potato chips, and a 1.5-liter bottle of Mountain Deuteronomy. The church council, made up of choir director Michael, Agnes Skinner, comic book guy Dr. Hibbert, and Dedrick Tatum, interrupt Lovejoy's junk food feast.
Michael tells Timothy that he wants to thank him for his years of incompetence, as blurted by Agnes. She wants to knock his frock off, saying that they like the new guy in his tight jeans. Hibbert says not to resuscitate Lovejoy's career. Lovejoy asks if he's being fired, and Agnes responds, "Gingo." Fun little callback. Michael asks that Timothy surrender his cross. Timothy does so, even giving the smaller cross that is on his leg holster. Next is a collar, which he turns until it reads, "Out of service." Agnes adds that any water Timothy turned into holy water is once again regular water, nothing but tap.
You know, we talk about joke jail a lot, but and like bits and phrases that should be out of the colloquialism of American society. The surrender your badge joke, you know, the gun thing with like doing it to Lovejoy. I'm not saying that to get that rid of that, but I think that's a great bit.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I think you're right. I think it's still ripe, and I love it when he has like when people have like things in their leg holsters that aren't guns, like the cross. It's always funny.
Do you keep things in your leg holster?
Yeah, mostly like coffee and a candy bar sometimes.
Hand in your candy bar, Steve.
Mr.
It's outrageous. So back at home, Timothy... that's a good one. Back at home, Timothy is depressed. He opens his fridge, pulls out a pickle jar, and starts chugging the brine. And Steve, on this podcast, sometimes we like to try things. So it's one of those giant 5-gallon pickle jars I have here. Chug this brine for me.
Okay.
It's either the brine or 20,000 little paper cuts on your penis shaft.
Oh, no. Not brine. I'll take the paper cuts.
All right. So as he returns the pickle to the jar, Alan tells him that Bodhi has 22,000 YouTube subscribers. He thinks that the church could go viral, and Timothy grabs Helen's phone to close the window, but accidentally subscribes and gives a thumbs up, which is exactly what you should do to our YouTube page, which is youtube.com/@138simpsons.
Mm-hmm.
So Timothy asks his wife to stop telling him what he just did, and then sends an eggplant emoji, which he's assured that it cannot be misconstrued. So then Timothy then gets the idea. Later in this clip, Homer and Marge try their hand at counseling yet again.
Wait a minute. The internet can help me. Help me find something on him. He's clean on Google. I'll have to try Bing.
Sorry, I was asleep. Do you really want to use us?
Yes. Nothing. But I'm not licked. Pack your bags, Helen. We are going to Michigan.
Reverend, we're here for a little counseling?
Well, I'd be happy to. But you're already with the best counselor there is. Your partner.
Wait, but Marge always told me communication is bad for a marriage.
I said it was good.
You said what was good?
You just have to know what it's like to be in each other's shoes. Literally, put on each other's shoes, right now.
All right, right. Oh, your shoes are so tight, and you do so much work. You're an angel.
And your shoes are so heavy. I never realized you carried around so much. I'm starting to see the man I fell in love with again.
Where? I'll kill him!
You.
He says, you're an angel, but when I hear the audio clip from Homer, he just says, you're an angel.
It's heavy angels.
On you. Yeah, exactly.
And the bits with Homer, like, being dumb and ready to murder someone when Marge is like, oh, I'm starting to see the man that I fell in love with, you know? It's like, wait, who?
It's also funny how she gets so much understanding because he has heavy shoes.
They must be Doc Martens then, if he's got heavy shoes.
Yeah, those are pretty heavy.
They are. I mean, like, I have a pair, and, like, when I put them on, I'm like,
Yeah, weighed down. Feel it, like, yeah.
It's like when you haven't worn them in a while, it's like you're walking like a toddler walking for the first time. You're like a little dizzy.
Or if you've been like wearing them for like a week or something, and then you put on like a pair of Vans or whatever, you know, it'll lift up your foot and it just looks like, woo, it's like you're walking on the moon. So Marge admits that she feels amazing, but asks Bodhi about the fact that Homer sold her house. Bodhi interjects saying that the house will never sell or never pass inspection, calling it a piece of crap. Marge thanks Bodhi and hugs Homer. The happy couple waddle out of the room, still wearing each other's shoes.
So Bodhi sits in a beanbag chair, playing on a hand pan and reading A Brief History of Time by Stephen Hawking. And Lisa walks in saying that it would be fun if they meditate together. And Bodhi is happy to do, invited Lisa to make herself at home. And then Lisa laughs, saying that as a meditation joke goes, that's the only one she's ever heard. I thought that bit was great. And Bodhi tells Alexa to play Meditation Jam. And this would be the second Alexa reference, right?
Mm-hmm.
This episode, yeah. So
sponsored by Google.
Yeah. No, that's Amazon, Steve.
Ah, yes, that's right.
Google is just like, hey, Google.
Oh, yeah.
Like, hey, Google, order my grandmother 20 gallons of lube and say they're from your grandchild.
Yeah. Hey, Google, play the Mexican hat dance on a loop for 40 times.
So, an ethereal new agey type music plays, and while Lisa and Bodhi meditate, the world around them gets fuzzy and blurry, and Bodhi states that science may call it consciousness and mystics may call it a soul, but those are just words. Labels for whatever it is, our eyes see.
Deep. So as Lisa breathes deeply, she removes the black outline around her, allowing her head to float into space. Several Lisa heads rotate, printing out a piece of paper with Lisa on it. A pair of scissors fly through the cosmos, cutting the Lisa out of the paper as jazz plays in the background. Lisa turns into a crayon drawing, then a doodle on a chalkboard, a black figure highlighted in white lines. She's then sculpted out of various pasta shapes, and then in an AI-like reality, followed by cubist surrealism, and then a simple white figure followed by a sculpture made of sponge. And then we get a text popping up that says, animation budget exceeded, which is kind of funny. And we flash to Lisa sitting on a rock in space. A pop-up appears that reads, do you want to meet God? Yes/no. Lisa picks yes, and there's a flash of white light. Back in reality, Lisa pushes a hand forward, and Bodhi asks if she saw the button.
Well, Reverend and Helen Lovejoy speed down the road in their station wagon, passing a sign that says, now entering Michigan. Really? You sure about this? So looking through the Michigan guide, Helen suggests that they go to Mackinac Island, which is the home of the longest hotel porch in the world. Always with the big verandas, comments Timothy.
She likes big porches and she cannot lie. Lisa tells Bodhi that he's accomplished something that she thought she'd never see in Springfield, a full-blown religious revival. We then cut to Mo with his head in the oven once again, but instead of another suicide attempt, he's pulling out a tray of freshly baked cookies, which he offers to his friends to warm their insides, much like the words of St. Paul warm the soul. While Mo quotes the patron saint of writers and publishers, another Springfieldian seeks faith as well.
Dear Ephesians, and I'm of course paraphrasing here, believe in Christ or I'll hit your head with a baseball bat. I'll frickin' do it.
Amen.
Hey, I'm not trying to change any minds. I'm just trying to start a conversation.
We need that. This town's like a snow globe. It doesn't look like much till you shake it up a little.
I want redemption or else, dude.
Or else what?
Or Rabbi Mankiewicz will, dude, and I have trouble making that whole sound. It's either Chanukah or Hanukkah, okay? Pick one of those.
That's a weird way to end the clip with Lisa.
So horrified that he could be Jewish.
All right, well, so meanwhile at the Traverse City Press, the home of the news that fits on two pages, Timothy scours the microfiche looking for dirt on Bodhi. He finds a headline that reads, Handsome Pastor in Easter Ouster. And the Reverend smugly says to himself, Vengeance is mine, saith the me. Just then, the microfiche bursts into flames. And the archivist for the paper comments that I should have really digitized that stuff. Who is the... I swear I've seen that archivist's face before, like that character, because he looks like a Moses like that you would get from Wish.com.
Yeah. He looks like almost like an amalgamation of like two celebrities on The Simpsons put together, like David Schwimmer and
Moses Lack.
Yeah, exactly. It's Ross Sizlak.
We were on a break.
Is that one?
Also, I feel disappointed because I never got to use microfiche. I'm guessing they don't exist anymore.
Yeah, they were probably around.
Yeah,
but like maybe you had to be a certain age to use it. And what reason would we need to use it as a children? Right.
Right. They look fun though.
Yeah.
So. Text appears on screen that says, to be continued, and Milhouse, still stuck on the flagpole, hopes that part two is about his rescue. More text is shown on screen that reads, no, it isn't. But credits begin to roll, and then Kent Brockman reports on what's to come.
Next week on Warren Priests Part 2.
Here there's a little dirt on the collar of a man who used to preach here, Bodhi Wright.
You, sir, have challenged me on scripture.
Oh, well, if it's scripture you want to talk, then let us make a joyful noise unto the Lord.
Good.
Your activism means nothing if it's not intersectional. Yarr!
Next week on The Simpsons.
Ooh, exciting, Steve. Do you think there'll be sex and violence, blood and guts and boobies, wieners?
I assume that all those things will be there, yes.
Just not seen.
Right, right. But, you know.
Right.
Anytime you see a person, there's probably boobies or butts or wieners or all three underneath their clothes.
Just like us. We got all three.
Yeah, exactly.
Two of those sets are very big and one,
I've got a little butt.
All right, Steve. Let's take a little break and then come back and just do a little quick recap of what we've seen because we got a lot more next week, right?
That's right. That sounds good.
We will be right back. Sorry, Steve, we're back, and listeners, we're also back, so thanks for sticking around with us. Let's just do a little quick reach around here, Steve, and talk about some of the scenes that we liked in this episode. We'll give a gift real quick. I mean, I was at the gas station, and I forgot we were exchanging a gift, and I just found a map of the state of Michigan, so there's your gift. It's just a map.
Oh, thank you,
Michigan.
Okay.
At least you know where all the roads are at.
I do appreciate that. Well, I got you a gift certificate to a your favorite dining establishment, A Batter Place, so you can go post-game and have some waffles and look at, you know, the great Mambino's bat, Shoeless Joe's sock, and, the steroids that Mark McGuire used in 1999.
Oh, boy, it's a $5 gift card, Steve. Much appreciated.
Enjoy that soda. Free refills.
Oh, no, it just says one free refill.
You know.
That's with those places, you know?
Yeah.
Like one free refill. all right, Steve. Yeah, what, you have some jokes in here or this episode that, like, that's a great joke.
So I really liked Mr. Burns. He had a very brief appearance, but him watching the church from his surveillance, his barber guy threatening to cut his throat if he hadn't procrastinated so much. I also liked Wiggum pointing out to Bodie, the first steeple up the road, that's not it. That's the Eiffel Tower Strip Club, and they have a French onion soup. That's okay. That's very funny to me.
Yeah.
Eating soup in a strip club is also very a funny idea. But yeah, what about you, Craig? What made you laugh?
No, I agree. The barber was just hilarious to me. I'm not saying it's like the funniest stuff comes from Sideshow Mel, but that was just kind of like my realization that like I really like seeing Sideshow Mel. So
yeah,
that did it for me. You know, it's like this was like, you know, how someone is indifferent towards someone, but then you keep hanging out with them. You're like, you know what? After all these years, I just realized I like that person now.
Yeah.
You know, much how I finally have accepted you, Steve.
Oh, thank you.
I mean, I haven't accepted... I haven't accepted Christ yet, but I've accepted you.
Well, you know, you've known me for 25 years, so, you know, maybe once you get to know Jesus just a little bit longer, he'll warm up to you.
And Reverend Lovejoy's great in this, too. He's also a character that I really like, because he's just very sassy.
Yeah. I really appreciate his frustration as a person. Just, it's beautiful and sad.
Like, one of my favorite dynamics is him and Flanders.
Mm-hmm.
And then this episode, just, like, that whole, like, Lisa meditating scene with the pasta faces, like, just really well done. So, yeah.
Yeah, really beautiful. Well, they're not jokes. And, you know, I've talked a lot about how, you know, I have mixed feelings about Pete Holmes as a comedian. I think his kind of spiritual message about it being more about, not about the words or the things that define us, but just about love and experience and, you know, accepting of things. I think that's a really beautiful message. And I think that, you know, them meditating and him talking about how, you know, God isn't just some old man in the sky. I don't know. I think that his message is really nice. And I think that, you know, we live in a world where, you know, religion and spirituality isn't exactly talked about a lot. And, you know, I am not a religious person in any way. But I think that his sense of love and stuff, it's nice. So I think if nothing else, if somebody were to get that from this episode, good on them. I'm curious to see what happens from here on out in the next episode.
Yeah. I'm going to agree with you. Like, I'm on board for it. But yeah, because, like, religion is one of my, like, least favorite things.
Yeah, me too.
In life, so. But yeah, Pete Holmes is very sure of himself. His character is. It's like how we're... all right, well, you know, we're not going to do any jokes about what we watch next week, because we all know, guys. It's Warren Priest Part 2, Season 31, Episode 20. In Michigan, Reverend Lovejoy uncovers the reason why Bodie left and came to Springfield. When the congregation learns of his crime, they must decide whether to banish their new priest. Let's talk about that real quick. Do you have any fan theories of why he was banished? I think it was because he was at church and he farted while he was sitting down and in his pew. So he who farts in church sits in his own pew, Steve.
Deep thoughts, deep thoughts.
And also he produced a Kid Rock album. That's why they got rid of him in Michigan.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. That's a crime.
Yeah, I think that maybe they, like, looked to his family of porn stars, both Peter North and John Holmes. It's like,
yeah, I made that joke last
week.
I
know, but I'll bring it back. I think the question that I'm left with that I'm excited to answer next week is, does this need to be a two-parter?
I think we should answer that next week.
Yeah, that's my biggest question. Like, I'm enjoying this episode just fine, and I'm not going to like rank it just yet, but I just want to know, did this need to be a two-parter? That's like the biggest thing that's on my mind. So next week we shall find out.
I think a fun, if you're into like editing, is take both episodes and edit them down to 22 minutes to see if it can be tight. Yeah. But a lot of times, it's funny because a lot of times there's an episode we find intriguing and we've said like, this would be better if it was a two-parter, because sometimes you want to expand the character. I can't think of anything on the top of my head, but I know we've said that.
Right.
So like, for instance, like how great it would have been if You Only Move Twice was a two-part episode, like having.
Oh, yeah.
Or The Simpsons. Yeah. Well, all right. We shall see how we feel about this in general next week. And excited that you guys had to come back to listen. Or we should just end the podcast here, like never do an episode again. This is it. Hey, it'd be great. Cliffhanger. They never find out. I mean, who knows? Maybe we might get struck by a comet or get hit by a bus or I don't know. Maybe Jesus is so mad at us right now that he'll just kill us.
Very possible. He's a vengeful guy. Okay,
well, yeah. That's the only God I care about is the vengeful ones. All right, Steve. Hey, thanks again for listening, everybody. Please contact us on social media. And you can do that on Instagram, Threads, YouTube at 138Simpsons. Or you can just do the old-fashioned email. And that's email is at 138Simpsons@gmail.com.
And hey, while you're on your podcast-catching app, if you want, leave us 5 stars or the equivalent. And leave us a review. But you don't need to write a real review. Just tell us the deity that you pray to. And also, while you're there, if you want to click on the microphone, you can leave us a voicemail, give us a question, an answer, an impression, or whatever. And thanks so much for listening.
And don't forget, tpublic.com/user/annoyedgruntboys for some Annoyed Grunt Boy merch. And thanks again for listening, everyone. Tell a friend, tell an enemy, tell your pastor, tell your God to listen to this podcast.
That's right.
All right. For this week, I've been Annoyed Grunt Boy Craig.
And I've been Annoyed Grunt Boy Steve.
And remember, communication is bad for a marriage.
This is the worst year of the ox ever.
Lord, either make this interesting or just rapture me now.